He's a husband.
Grandpa.
He's a grandpa.
Yeah. Hey, it's good to be in the house and to be able to share with you this morning. I love the opportunity and the privilege to be able to share with you. We are in a study right now looking at the life and ministry of Jesus, and we're looking specifically at the book of John. Okay, now we've also been trying to memorize. We're in the process of memorizing the books of the Bible, and we've started with the New Testament. Do you remember the books? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels. And then we introduced Acts and Romans. And then last week, Pastor Andrew introduced 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Okay? There are Pauline epistles that come in, and Corinthians is one of those letters, that two of the letters that Paul wrote. So the first four books are the Gospels, and we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. So the ushers are coming, and they have Bibles that they are handing out right now. If you need a Bible, just get their attention, raise their hand. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. If you do have one, but you just forgot yours today, just leave it on the seat when you leave, and we'll collect those again. And we're looking at the fourth book of the New Testament. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is what we're looking at today, but we want to go on in our memorization, and we have the Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and we're adding Galatians and Ephesians. Galatians and Ephesians. Those were two of the epistles that Paul wrote, Galatians and Ephesians. So why don't you just real quickly turn around and tell the person right behind you these six books or seven books of the Bible. Ready? Right now. Matthew. Oh, you're looking at the back of their head, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then we have Galatians and Ephesians, okay? All right, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to that fourth book, the book of John. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read the chapter today. I'm just going to give you a paraphrase. I'm going to put it in my words. We are looking at John chapter 9. Okay, so if you'll look that up, we're going to be referring to it, but I just want to give you a little synopsis. It's important, when I started reading for this particular message, John chapter 9, I think, is very critical to this book of John. Now, the Gospels, all of the books kind of have a theme to them. They kind of have a thrust to them. There's a reason why the authors wrote them. The first three books in the New Testament are called the Synoptic Gospels. They have a familiar stream, okay? It's about this age. Jesus came for this age and the age to come. He's preparing us for the age to come. It kind of has a horizontal thrust to it. It's about now and about the age to come, okay? But John is different. His is unique. It's about God become, who is the Word. In John 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It has kind of a vertical emphasis. It is the Holy God coming into our life right now and transforming our life right now. Okay, so it's heaven and earth. It is light and darkness. It is about this intervention that happens right now in our lives. So it has this vertical kind of thrust to it. It's important to recognize that, okay? Because this ninth chapter, I think, really is an allegorical representation of the light coming into the darkness, the world being the darkness, okay? So in John chapter 9, it says that Jesus had been ministering around Jerusalem, he and his disciples, and they came upon this man who had been born blind. And his disciples said to him, he said, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he should be born blind? They made an assumption. They looked at the situation. They know that in this world there's a cause and effect. Okay? There must be a reason for it. So who sinned, the man or his parents, that he should be blind, be born blind? And Jesus said, neither one of them. Okay? It isn't a cause and effect here. He says, this man is here so that the power of God can be manifest this day. He is here so that you can see this intervention, this healing that's going to take place from this blindness. So Jesus does a unique thing. Okay? Actually, it's kind of gross. Gets a mouthful of saliva, spits on the ground, takes a little bit of clay, makes some mud out of it, goes up to this guy, takes this mud, and he wipes it on his eyes. Okay? He anoints his eyes with this mud, this clay that he spit out of spit. Okay? And he tells the guy, he says, now I want you to go to the pool of Siloam, and I want you to wash this mud off your face, and you're going to receive your sight. So this man goes to the pool of Siloam. He's got this mud on his eyes. He goes to this pool, washes his eyes, and he receives his sight. And he's overjoyed, and he's walking around, heading back home. He didn't know the way by landmarks because he'd never seen before. So he had to go by memory, and he's finding his way back to home. And several of the neighbors, his friends, they say, man, and this is my paraphrase, they didn't put a name in it in the Bible. I'm going to call him Joe. They say, hey, isn't that Joe? Isn't that blind Joe that's walking around? Man, he don't have a stick or nothing. He can see. What happened to old Joe? So that Joe, what happened to you? He said, man, there was this dude, okay? And he spit on the ground, and he made this clay, and he wiped it on my eyes, and he told me to go wash it off, and I received my sight. Wow. So they take him to the religious leaders. Some of his neighbors and friends said, this can't be Joe. Okay, this is his brother. Okay, he kind of looked like Joe. Okay, but I have a brother that's 2 years older than I am, and a lot of times people would say, hey, I saw this guy in town when he's here visiting. He kind of looks like you. When my brother hears that, he says, no, I'm the older one. He looks like me. Okay, but they thought it was a brother, somebody that looked like him. And Joe says, no, I am the man. I am the man. I'm the one who was born blind. I've received my sight. And they took him to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Said, you need to come and report this. So they took him to the Pharisees, and he told them, they said, well, you were born blind. You see, how did you receive your sight? And he said, there was this man, and he was talking to me. He spit on the ground. He made this mud, wiped it in my eyes, and told me to go wash my eyes, and I received my sight. Now, it says that the day he received his sight was the Sabbath. And because it was on the Sabbath, the Pharisees said, this man is a sinner. He is not from God because he does not keep the laws of the Sabbath. He is not of God. He is a sinner. This guy says, well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I'll tell you what, I can see now and I'm rejoicing God, okay? No, he is not from God because he's done this on the Sabbath. Who is this guy? The guy said, I don't know. I couldn't see him, you know. So they had to call his parents, okay? They called this man's parents into the Pharisees, and they said, is this your son that you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? Now, there was a teaching in that time and a disbelief in the Christ, in Jesus. And they had stirred this up, and they had told the people that if any of you profess that he is the Christ, you're going to be excommunicated. You're going to be kicked out of the church. So you cannot be a part. So they were afraid to say that Jesus was the Christ. So they asked the parents, how is it that your son can see now? And they said, hey, we don't know. Okay, we just heard that some guy made mud, put it on his eyes, told him to go wash, and he received his sight. Okay, that's all we know. Who was this guy? I don't know. They said, he's of age. He's a grown man. Ask him. Ooh, they kind of sidestepped it because they knew if we profess to Christ being the one who brought the healing into our son's eyes, they're going to kick us out. So we're going to sidestep this, and they put it on their son. Ask him. He's of age. So they asked him again. Tell us, how is it that you received your sight? He said, man, I've been telling this story over and over and over again. He spit on the ground, he made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash, and I received my sight. He said, you guys don't believe me when I tell you. What is it you keep asking? You want to be his disciples? Is that what you're after? And they said, don't get smart with us. Okay? And they began to become hard on him and critical of him. In fact, they got to the point where they said, because he healed on the Sabbath and he is a sinner. And the blind man who formerly was blind said, do you know, you have also taught that God does not listen to sinners and he will not heed to the call of the sinners. You've taught that. How is it that this sinner can call to God and I can receive my sight? And they said, we don't like you. Get out. And they kicked him out. Okay? So this formerly blind man is wandering around, and he runs into Jesus. Jesus hears that they've kicked him out, and he finds him, and he comes up to him. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And this man says, oh, I so want to believe in the Son of Man. I want to know who the Son of God is. And he says, the man you are looking at is he. And it says this man knelt down and worshiped. He saw really for the first time. His eyes were opened. There is lots of people who are blind, physically blind. Today, we want to look at John chapter 9, at those who were really blind and the reasons why they were blind. You can be blind from a physical disorder. There is a lady who lived about 100 years ago. I have to sing a song for you, you know, because often when I teach, I do a quick little hymn, and I didn't do it because of time restraints in the last service. And one guy came up and says, "Man, I got money that you were gonna sing a hymn, and I lost this money. You got to make up for it." So I don't know if he stuck around, but there was a woman who was blinded by a surgeon's hand when she was very young child. Grew up all her life blind, could not see at all. And she began to write hymns in her 40s. Okay? She didn't start writing hymns until she was in her 40s. Before she died, she had written over 8,000 hymns. She all her adult life, averaged like 3 hymns a week that this woman wrote. Okay? One of the hymns that she wrote is, "I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee." Some of you old timers know, "Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side." Second verse, I like it because it ties in with what we're wanting to bring out today. It says, "Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. By the power of grace divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine." This woman was made blind, but there's all kinds and sorts of blindness that we can encounter. And today we want to look at the sources of blindness, what caused the blindness, and how do we bring about the healing from this? Because this whole book is about God intervening at our place right now to work in our lives right now. The Gospel of John is about light coming into the world, into the darkness, into our darkness, and exposing the light and healing the blindness. Okay? Now, I had somebody that emailed me a cute little story. Okay? I want to read this story to you. It says that Matt's dad picked him up from school one afternoon. Knowing the results of the school play tryouts were supposed to be posted today, he asked his son if he got a part. Matt enthusiastically announced that he had gotten a part. He told him, he says, "I play a man who's been married for 20 years. "That's great, son. Keep up the good work and put in everything into this role, and before you know it, they'll give you a speaking part." Now, lest you think that I am Matt, I love to teach with my wife and team teach with my wife. So I've asked Donnie if she would come up and teach with me this morning, and we're going to teach the Word of God together and interact and share some of these truths that we want to bring out in John chapter 9. First group that we want to look at, the first people that were blind were the disciples. The disciples. In verses 1 and 2, so if you're in John chapter 1.
Can I talk about blindness first?
You may talk about blindness.
Blindness is very interesting because when we think about blindness, I don't know if you, I used to always just think, oh, man, that person just sees black. They see nothing. But blindness, when you look it up in the different definitions in the organizations that deal with people who are blind, doesn't just deal with people who are what we call totally blind. Blindness is in degrees, and people have different sorts of blindness. And what it really comes down to is kind of a perversion of sight. It's a blurring of the sight. It can be from cataracts. It can be from any sorts of things. But it's a perversion. So you're seeing maybe some things a little bit, but your vision isn't clear. It's distorted. And let me give you an example. back when we went on Kaiser Permanente again, when Roger came on staff here in 2000, we all had to get physicals. That's how they make you start. So we took the kids in, and we all had physicals, and they came out after they did the kids, and they said, well, your kids are great, except for your daughter can't see. And of course, we both started laughing. We thought the nurse was making a joke. She was kind of a cute, jovial person, and we laughed, and she says, no, I'm not kidding. She can't see. And we thought, well, that's crazy. So she's nearsighted. She can't see far away. And you may wonder how that's possible that we didn't know that, because she was, it was 20/70. It was quite pronounced. And we homeschooled, so she didn't have chalkboards to look at. Had she been in the schoolroom, she would have known she couldn't see the chalkboard, at least very clearly. And it was very important for her to have clear vision, because she was going to begin to get to do driving. She was going to get her permit. So we took her in, and they gave her contacts. So within just a couple of days, she had contacts. When she put them in, she went, oh, there are leaves. I can see the leaves on the trees. And she just had no idea that when she looked at trees, that she couldn't see the definition, that she was missing something. So through this teaching today, ask yourself, am I blind? Am I missing some detail that God wants me to see? Do I need my eyes open so that I can see from His perspective?
Those of you who are from this area, you're familiar with the Thule fog, huh? The fog season around here. Now, I haven't really seen the dense fog in several years. And maybe it's because the water level is dropping or whatever, but we need that water in order to evaporate to make this Thule fog. But years ago, before we had kids and Donna and I were first married, we were visiting her parents in Visalia, and we were on the way home. We used to rent a house from Greg and Carol Ward right off of 43, and the fog was so dense, we were driving blind. And you could not see because of the fog, the obstruction. Man, you talk about seeing things, and when you're driving in that kind of fog, you start seeing things in the fog. But we actually missed the driveway into our, off the 43, we were driving so, and we went right on by it. I had to turn around and come back, went right on by it. We couldn't find the exit for our drive. It was so dense. We were driving blind. That's one of the things about blindness. It doesn't necessarily have to be a physical thing. It can be emotional blindness. It can be spiritual blindness. It can be mental blindness. And that's what we're wanting to talk about today. So if you're in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, and he went along, and he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the cause of this particular blindness was they made assumptions. Making assumptions. Seeing things and saying, well, this must be what is because this is what I see. And drawing conclusions just solely on what you see can actually be a blindness. You will miss out on things because you may not assume all that's really there.
You know, we have a friend named John Michael Hernandez, and we met John Michael when he was 16. Well, he was born with a thing called spinal bifida. It's a hole in your spine, and they did surgery on it. Of course, with babies, they always try and close it up. But for some reason, where they had done the closing, a tumor formed, and he did not realize it. As he was growing, this tumor had formed. And by the time he was 14, his legs began to weaken. He couldn't walk normally. By the time he was 16 and we met him, he was already walking with crutches. And he went on to a place where in his 20s he had walked with the walkers and he had leg braces because there was nothing they could do for him. Well, he is a very gifted actor and director, and he had a dream. And he wanted to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts to study his craft. Well, he went down 20 years ago and auditioned in Pasadena, and they were just wild about him. They thought, oh, this guy's wonderful. He's terrific. But they accepted him. Now, let me just say, they accepted him. When they sent his acceptance to New York City, they were all like, wow, this is great. The New York campus is where he wanted to go. He wanted to be where the acting world was. And he was looking. They were looking at his information, they went, wait a minute, this guy's handicapped physically. He's got a physical, there's no way he can act and do what we want him to do. There's just no way. Well, John Michael knew he was called of God. These people who judged him, who the academic people looked at him, were assuming things about him from what they read, that he could not do those things because of what they read about his physical condition. But he knew he was called of God. Well, We prayed and we asked the Lord what to do, and we called our good friend Cal Dooley, who was a congressman at the time, and he rallied other congressmen to his side, and they wrote letters and made calls because it's illegal for schools to do that. How many of you know that? They cannot discriminate because of handicap. And they said, well, because they were forced to, they let him in. They still had assumptions. So John Michael came with a tough task, and the way this school was designed, you went the first year and you were invited back if they felt you were good enough. This is the school where Kurt Douglas came from. Many famous actors you know today came from this school, and they had a reputation to protect. Well, he worked very hard. They put huge obstacles in his way. They almost tried to trip him up, it seemed to us. But he kept going because he knew God's call. And they invited him back. And not only did they invite him back and did he graduate after the second year, but he graduated with special honors, with special awards for his acting ability. And not only that, he had so totally won over them and blew their assumptions out of the water that he has now worked for the American Academy of Dramatic Arts for 15 years. He teaches at the Kennedy Center about the handicapped and how to use the handicapped in the acting and fine arts fields. And God has used him in a mighty, mighty way. But the assumptions of a few people were there trying to prevent him from God's fullness, but he knew better and he kept persuading. So we have to ask ourselves, what do we have assumptions about? Do we put God in a box?
So making assumptions will blind. It's one of the causes of blindness. And having compassion and gaining understanding is one of the things that opens the blindness. Jesus came to give understanding. Jesus came to bring enlightenment into our hearts and into our minds. So he brings the healing for that kind of blindness. Second type of people that were there who were blind were the neighbors. The people that he knew, that he was familiar with. In verses 8 and 9, it says, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. So here's the cause of the blindness. Unbelief. I can't believe this. Even though I see it, it cannot be because it doesn't work in my logical mind. And so this unbelief will cause you to be blind to the things of God.
Mm-hmm. One time, a long time ago when Roger and I were first married, we traveled with a team called the Celebrant Singers. And we had traveled 10 days after we got married. We jumped in the bus and we went on the road with the Celebrant Singers. It was a great way to spend the first 3 months of our marriage. We got to know each other through the very best and the very worst. They invited us back and we were going to go to on an India tour. But on the way to India, we were also going to go to Iran. Well, this tour was pretty expensive, you can imagine, with airline flights. And Roger had never been out of the country, so he was just a little bit, really didn't want to go to these.
I'm a homebody, man. Yeah. I don't want to go to those places.
Yeah, he, you know, we were all called to certain things, but we just knew we were supposed to go. But he thought, well, if we don't raise the money, we won't go, and well, we'll see what happens, you know. So we went ahead, and as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me that we were not to tell anybody what our need was. You know, a lot of times when teams like this go out, they solicit funds from people. But God told me that we were not to do that. We were to trust him solely. So I went to Roger and told him, and he thought, woohoo!
That's a great idea. I don't have to go.
That's right. Because his faith wasn't at that level. So I kept telling him, we'd pray, and we'd pray, and we'd pray. Nothing happened. 2 weeks before we were to leave in January, 2 weeks, a woman called, and she was in tears. And I'd only met her once. She was a friend of my mom from the Episcopal Church in Visalia. And she was sobbing. And she goes, I need to ask your forgiveness. Please forgive me. And I said, well, whatever for? And she goes, I received an inheritance from my mother. She died, and she left me this inheritance. But the Lord has been telling me, he just won't leave me alone, that I am to give you that inheritance. As much as you need, I'm to write you a check for it. And she goes, and I've sinned because I wanted some of this money because I had plans for my yard. And the Lord just finally said, you will never enjoy this money if you don't, because she would love the Lord. And she called me, and she was actually really delighted. What seemed like a huge sum of money, I told her what it was. She went, that's all? And she had been in agony for months. because she hadn't listened to the Lord. It was just very little of what she actually had, but it blessed us. And I was able to go out to Roger and I said, guess what? And I told him the story. And you have never seen a man so transformed in your life. He was jumping. I've never seen a man jump so high, jumping up and down, because all of a sudden his eyes were opened and he was able to believe and he was thrilled. It changed Roger's life.
So my faith was blinded because of the disbelief or the unbelief. I just couldn't believe for that. So that when God then intervened, it just, now I can believe for anything. That God will provide for anything. Do you know the economic times that we're going through, the difficulties? God can provide. God is with us. He promises the righteous will never have to beg for bread.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I can believe no matter what the circumstances may get like, God is here to provide and he will provide. But your doubt, your unbelief will cause blindness. Mm-hmm. And God came to dispel the blindness and he wants to give you faith to dispel the blindness. That's the way you get around that. All right, let's take a look at the third type of people that were there, that were blind, and that was the parents. And we're looking at verses 18 through 22, and it says, the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So what caused this blindness? Fear. Let him speak. He's old enough. He can speak for himself. Fear will cripple and blind you from the interventions of God.
You know, just last weekend, I went to the Red Box. That's a place where you can rent videos, DVDs, for a dollar. And they're at Save Mart. They're at Walmart. And I was going through and I saw this DVD, and it was called Faith Like Potatoes. How many of you have seen that one?
Excellent movie, guys. Write that down. That's one you need to see.
It comes from a book, and I really want to read the book now because it's about a man named Angus Buchan. Now, Angus was of Scottish descent, and he was settled in the middle part of Africa, but his farm, things got bad, and he had to give up his farm. He lost it, and he had to sell it for very, very, very little, a small price. But he and his wife knew that things were good down in Zululand of South Africa, so they moved down there with just enough money just to rub together, just two coins to rub together. And he had very little money to buy a farm. So he got down there and used what little he had and bought this farm, but it had no home on it. So they had to live in a little tiny trailer, very little trailer. There were three children, the mom and dad, and the mother was pregnant, 6 months pregnant. She was a woman of faith, though. And things were really hard. He was very discouraged. He just wondered whether he was supposed to be farming at all. But she kept talking to him, says, we need something. And it was really hurting their relationship, too. There was much tension in their relationship. And she finally got him to go to church. Well, that Sunday, another farmer got up and gave his testimony about how Christ had saved him and what it had done for his life. At that point, Angus decided, what have I got to lose? And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Well, he went and talked to the pastor of this little Methodist church one day the next week, and the pastor said, oh, this is so wonderful. He says, but you know how you're saved, you're delivered, but you know what? A part of being accepting the Lord to seal the deal, you need to share this. And I want you to share this new salvation with the first person you meet. Well, little did Angus know, he went out walking down the street, and guess who he ran into? He ran into his top drinking, carousing buddy. They played this game of kind of polo lacrosse together. They'd go out and hit, and they were dirty, get down dirty guys. They just were cussers and drinkers and carousers. They were the bad boys around town. And he knew he had to tell him. He goes, hey, do you have time? But he was deadly afraid, and he tried to avoid him and tried to avoid him, but this guy kept saying, hey, come on, go to lunch with me, come on. So they went to lunch, and the guy was doing all, they were, you know, talking, and he says, what's new with you? And he goes, he knew, and he pushed through the fear, And he shared his new life in Jesus Christ with this man. And this man's comment was, well, another one bites the dust, you know, kind of just that kind of a. But what happened after that, because he pushed through the fear that was blinding him, he could now believe for amazing things. One day his farm caught on fire. It was in the dry season. And he was really afraid because the farm next door, if it caught fire as well from his fire, he would be sued because the farm originated on his land. So he told his Zulu foreman, pray for rain. Well, that'd be like asking it to pray for rain here right now.
It's not the rainy season.
Not the rainy season. And it would take a lot of rain. So what happened was as they prayed, and his Zulu foreman thought he was whacked. He thought, well, this guy's way out there. Within an hour, it was not just raining, but it was an amazing downpour, and it put the fire out. He went on from faith to faith to faith, pushing through his fear, and he at one point raised a Zulu woman from the dead who had been struck by lightning. Just went in, and the Lord told him to speak to her, and it raised her up. And he just went, and he even rallied the whole nation in times of drought to pray for God's provision and rain. So he began to have a voice. This is a man without an education, but he pushed through the fear. And when he pushed through the fear, God did mighty miracles.
So fear blinds, but love believes and will endure. I wonder how many of us this morning have somebody that you are afraid to share the hope that lies within you with. Somebody at work, I don't want to share because they are, you know, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to criticize me. I'm going to look foolish. And so we let fear keep us from receiving the light and sharing the light with others. That fear, it will cause blindness, spiritual blindness in you. Yeah.
And let me add that in 2 Timothy, and you've heard this a million times, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's what these people were afraid of. They were afraid of their son's testimony, which was really theirs. And because of that, they kind of lost the blessing as well, these parents, because they were afraid, and they were really afraid of the testimony of Christ, which would bring liberty to them.
The fourth type of people that were there, and the fourth kind of blindness, was the Pharisees. Verses 13 through 16 says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. The cause of this particular blindness is legalism. Okay? He doesn't keep the Sabbath. We have a certain way of believing. I can't believe for others. I can't listen to others because they don't believe the way I do. Legalism will cause blindness.
At one point, right before I got married, I went to Pepperdine University, and it was just for a short season, but it was a miraculous season for me. I walked into an atmosphere where God was ready to move. And I don't know if you realize Pepperdine University was originally, and it's still probably owned, but by a religious denomination. And this religious denomination has certain beliefs that they walk by. One of the beliefs was, I was in choir and didn't know why it was an a cappella choir, but their belief was that instruments and voices together was not of God, that instruments had to be separate from voice. You could never play an instrument and sing together. That was just one of their beliefs that they believed was holy and right, and it was their form of legalism, their religiosity. Well, at that point, God was ready to do a mighty move on that campus, and somehow this little girl who was like a wallflower and kind of quiet ended up in the middle of it, and I had a voice there. I had a platform to share the hope that was in me, and people, I would share things and people would get saved. I would share things and people would get baptized in the Holy Spirit. There were times we'd pray for people and they'd get healed and delivered. It was marvelous. But unfortunately, the young people that were there of this religious denomination would not listen to me, and they didn't believe that I was from God, because in that religion, they did not believe that someone who was baptized as a child could be a Christian. So they believed that they just completely tuned me out Because God spoke to me in that, because he had things he wanted to do within those young people at denomination. I prayed about it, and I actually was baptized again as an adult in the ocean. And funny thing, then they would listen to me, and they would receive the word that God had. But can you see their legalism prevented them from receiving the truth and the move of God that he wanted to bring to them in that season. It was just very sad to me that their legalism could keep them. So don't allow the things that you believe. You each have a set of beliefs. But you know what? God likes to color outside the lines. He's a creative God. Amen? And God is a God who's outside the box. He likes to think outside of our boxes that we try to put him in.
So we can let legalism or our belief, this is the only way of looking, this is the only way of believing, we can let that blind us. Mm-hmm. The legalism. Okay? Now, as we were reading through this, Jesus, when he brought the healing into their lives, he used objects or gestures in order to bring about this healing. And as we studied this chapter, it was interesting what the symbolic meaning behind some of these. And so, Donnie, we are real short on time. Can you take about 2 minutes and just briefly talk about those?
Jesus used clay. Think about what Adam was made of in the Garden of Eden. He was made of
dirt,
clay. So it's like God, Jesus used that clay because it was symbolic of him doing a new creation. It says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's his promise. So it's symbolic of that new creation. And the idea that he applied it, the word that he applied the clay to his eyes, is the word anointing. And anointing denotes that God is untouching and putting something on it. Somebody's being set aside for specific use. But the most important word I found in here was the pool of Siloam. And the Siloam means sent. And the word sent there means apostolo. What word sounds like that you guys know? Apostle. Apostle, the word apostle means those who are sent. Those who are sent out with a purpose. So what you got to hear here is that God doesn't just heal, deliver, save, just for us to sit on our laurels. But he is healing us and delivering us and saving us so that we would be sent out to bring that same light to a dark world. And the interesting thing about it is, in Timothy, where I read earlier, in verse 9, 2 Timothy 1, 9, and says, he who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, which is granted to us through Christ Jesus. The thing is, he gives us a purpose, he's sending us out, but the word grace there, he says he gives grace. He also gives us his ability to do what he's calling us to do.
So God brings healing and he brings sight in order to be used and to reach out. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. Satan comes to blind. He wants you to get so caught up in these things. And so what John is trying to show here is the ways in which people become blind. Through assumptions, through unbelief, through fear, through legalism. These are factors that Satan uses in our lives to cripple us, to blind us, so that we cannot reach out. Because Jesus said, I came so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I want you to go and to share that. And just as we were saying here, he goes to the pool of Siloam because the healing is now for you to be sent out and to be used of God. The light, the hope of glory within you is to be shared. Satan is not going to idly sit by and allow that to happen. He wants to blind you. He does not want you to see the needs of this world. Can we just bow our heads? Father, we just want to pause and ask that your Holy Spirit would look into our hearts and into our lives, and that you might expose these areas of blindness in our lives, Lord God. And I wonder this morning how many would say, I have looked at situations, even family members, and I have judged them. I have criticized them. I have been blinded by my own assumptions. And I see this day that God wants to bring healing into my life and cause my eyes to be open. And I wonder how many this morning would say, that's me. You'd raise your hand and say, that's me. I have made assumptions. And I based my faith upon those assumptions. This day, Lord God, I pray that the light of glory would shine upon the hearts of those who have been quick to judge, have been quick to make assumptive reasoning, Lord God, and have not been open to all that you have and all that you want to share. I wonder this morning how many have had unbelief. I cannot believe my situation is too grave. The difficulties I'm in is too difficult. I'm having a hard time believing that God is going to deliver me from this, that God is going to reach down in my life and he's going to lift me up with his righteous right hand. How many this morning would say that's me? I've been struggling with that unbelief. The hands. Father, I pray, Lord God, that your word would become real in the hearts and lives of these people who your word brings truth, Lord God. You want to reach down in their lives and pick them up, Lord God, with your righteous right hand. And I wonder how many this morning would acknowledge, I have let fear. I am afraid to share my faith. I am afraid that people will laugh at me. I'm afraid that I'm going to look ridiculous. I'm afraid that I'm going to say something and it's not going to happen and I'm going to look foolish. And so I've allowed that fear to blind me. How many this morning would say, that's me? I've allowed fear to keep me from being and doing what God has called me. Remember, all are called. All have a plan. God says, I know the plan I have for every one of you. And that is to reach out. He has a purpose for each one of us. I wonder this morning, how many have been bound by legalism? How many have my belief? And I have my beliefs and I won't talk to people because they pray a rosary and I don't believe like that. Or I'm not talking to them because they were baptized as a child and I don't believe in that. And so I can't fellowship with them. I can't. How many of you have allowed legalism to blind you, to keep you? Would you raise your hands? Father, you see the hands, you know our heart. I pray, Lord God, that this day your spirit would move. And even right now, Lord God, that you would begin to shine the light into the hidden recesses of our lives, those areas that we've kept hidden. I don't want anyone to see this sin. I don't want anyone to see this belief. I don't want anyone to know that I have this fear. I want to keep that hidden because I'm comfortable living in the deception, in the lie of this world. Satan wants to keep you bound in blindness because he does not want you to share the hope of glory that you have with anyone else. So he will keep you dumb and blind. Father, this day I pray that the scales would be removed, that the fog that has been in our lives, Lord God, that the sun would shine. The sun would shine and that we would see clearly that which you have called us to. Father, I pray that your spirit would touch and reveal and move upon your people because this is a dark time and you have sent your son and revealed the light in us and you want us to take that light and share with others. Cause that to burn within our spirits, Lord God, because the days are quickly drawing nigh. This age is soon to come to an end and we want to be faithful, Lord God, doing that which you've called us to. Now I pray that you would bless those who have come. Father, I pray that this word would touch their hearts and their lives as they leave this building. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask the prayer teams to come up to the front now. If you are here and you have more prayer that you would like to or have people that you'd like to talk with, they are here and they want to pray with you. Now I dismiss you and I pray that God's the light and the hope of glory would touch your hearts and you would share the light in the darkness where you go. God bless you and thanks for letting us share.